Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. For steps, for swim lesson, or for sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Whenever that happens, Bugatti Casino has to be on that
week.
We're
calling him. Yes.
Make sure you write that in your little lime green book.
Yes, would you please? Mike. And put it in your bright red suitcase. He's Mike. Such a colorful person.
Yeah, he really is.
October 8th.
Okay.
Excuse me, October 29th.
Well make up your mind. Which one is it?
It's the 8th week of the season on October 29th.
Wow, they don't play each other week 8.
And then week 13 again.
Well, put it in your book, as Gio suggested, that we call Bugatti, all right?
Okay.
Check on our friend.
You got it, Beej.
Oh, my God. I ain't stole no dial.
You know that Mikey B said something to me yesterday that was just jarring. Really was. Something I never thought that I'd hear out of his mouth.
He loves me.
He looks at me and goes, you know, I like Brian in a weird way.
You weren't supposed to share that with me.
Yeah, I was, because maybe it'll make you hate him less. So I'm trying to help mediate the situation.
I hate no one. As I tell these fools on the Twitter,
well,
hate is such a strong word.
Whatever emotion that you have towards him that makes you act the way you do.
It's close to hate.
Towards him, I'm trying to alleviate some of
damn.
That.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is so cool. You want to hug it out?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you bring your ass in here. Don't you dare.
It's a vibe.
Do you feel the same way about him? Do you like him a little bit?
You must be crazy.
Oh, come on. He cracked yesterday, and he said it. Will you crack?
Crack some over his head.
All right. Well, I tried.
I'll take it.
I tried.
I tried, too.
Yes.
I've been trying for 3 years.
By the way, Mike, the thing that you're experiencing called Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what that is.
Look it up.
You look at it.
You That's the reason why you like him in a weird way. Stockholm Syndrome.
That's my fault.
Throwing a cable spool down the hallway at it, right?
Yeah, what? What?
All right.
Do you want?
Was there that pregnant pause in that?
There was, which made it amazing. That's what made that so fun. All right, that
wasn't Pete mixing and scratching. That was actually the length of the sentence. Huh?
I just rolled it, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So it's 7:15 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah!
Which is just over 10 minutes from
One
now.
One of my favorites.
James Franklin is going to join us, mm-hmm. Penn State head football coach. You don't want to miss any of that, as he's come a long way from taking that job. And a long way from the start of last season, too, where people were rumbling about his ability to really take that program to the next level. And, I mean, he has, and undoubtedly has, and he got a huge contract extension, and now he's rich. So, not that he wasn't rich before because he was making a decent amount of money. I mean, now he really doesn't have to worry about anything. for a while, especially if this program continues to do what it's doing. So we heard from Bogish in the update that Odell Beckham Jr. could miss the opener.
Milk it.
Against the Dallas Cowboys.
I collapsed for real.
Yeah.
It was so painful. And then I had to collapse again after I jogged on that same ankle. I had to collapse there inside the tunnel under the stadium. Yeah.
If he misses that game, then at that point I will apologize to Odell Beckham Jr. and his entire setup. But there's no way he's missing that game. I mean, the way he jogged off the field the other night, on Monday night against the Cleveland Browns, just showed me he was fine. You can't... I mean, how many days away is that game? Were we talking September 11th or 10th or 10th. Something? September 10th.
Yeah.
So, a guy who jogged the way he did on August 21st, if he's not ready by September 10th, I would be shocked. Now, I know that there's more to medicine and injuries than just that, but that's a long time. He doesn't have to play a game in between if he or the coaches don't want him to.
Right. Now, if it's a high ankle sprain, tell us that if you choose to. And okay, it's going to be a lengthy recovery, having sustained one of those. But you
which
just
is like a broken leg, kind of, isn't it?
No, there's a little membrane between in your lower leg between both bones, and it's like a little sheet, a little membrane, and you get that thing inflamed, and it's just so difficult to treat because it's in such a tight space, and it just takes forever. And we tried shooting that bad boy up, every damn thing, putting rolls and rolls of tape on it, nothing helped. You just have to let it run its course.
Yeah, and it
is. They have some new medicine. Maybe they have some new medicine. I'm talking, you know, 94, 95. They may have some new stuff for those high ankle sprains.
Yes, that's your heyday. Every time I see anything 90s, I think, where was Brian right now? All this was going on. You recommended the Defiant Ones, the HBO documentary that focuses on Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. So, unlike you, when you gave me the recommendation, I watched it right away. So, I watched episode one Monday night, episode two last night. And there was a party that they showed for only like 20 seconds when NWA was at their peak. And it was a pool party somewhere in L.A. And it was just like everything that I imagined your life to be. So when, I mean, just butts and drinks and everything.
There's butts at every pool party, no matter
this one just,
who you are, right? You go to a pool party, you expect to see some butts.
It was milk. Yeah, it just felt right. So as I'm watching it, I say to Gina, my wife, I said, I bet you Brian was at this party. And she goes, really? He was? I said, no, I'm just... Never mind.
Well, we went to many like that. The first pool party I went to as a freshman at UCLA, I remember, because the rule was you go to a pool party. Everyone has to get in the pool at least once.
Yeah.
And Derek Tenaille, our big old tight end, threw me in the pool just out of nowhere. Boom. Everyone goes in the pool. So what?
No, it's just funny. No, go ahead.
And, you know, guys, girls, didn't matter. So, yeah, it was similar to that. Similar to that party.
Yeah, of course it was.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's amazing how everything goes back to this show. Like, I'm watching this documentary, and, of course, Ice Cube's a big part of it because of NWA,
right?
And he left. And I'm just thinking about Pete texted Ice Cube to ask if he lived in Minnesota. Like, Ice Cube, the guy who wrote the song, Blank the Police.
Yep.
He's getting texts from Pete in 2017.
That's why he said no. He probably thought it was the police.
Hey,
no, I never lived there.
You have that drop, hey, Ice Cube, it's Pete. I'm watching that. I'm thinking of Pete. I'm watching the pool party. I'm thinking of you. It is a tremendous documentary,
though.
Oh,
it's excellent.
Everybody's got
to... And you still have two episodes to go.
I do, yeah. Well, I'm really curious in the discovery of Eminem. That's the one I'm really into.
Yeah, and I have a connection to Dr. Dre's wife.
Do you?
Yeah. Mutual friends.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You ever hang out in the same place?
Yeah.
In a pool?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Just making sure. No, Nicole from way back.
Wow.
Way back.
Pretty good. Eric Winston, who is been a player rep for a long time now. I believe it's been at least a few years, an outspoken guy, offensive lineman, said that he doesn't care if the NFL dies out in 20 years because of a work stoppage. And I know that's a juicy headline and a juicy quote, but I really think that, you know, that's coming from the fact that they need to, the players need to make sure that the same things aren't happening.
Right.
And if it means that the, you know, the game is going to remain the same, then they're willing to do whatever it takes. So, yeah, it looks crazy on paper, but that's the mentality you have to have if you want to get something done.
They're going in fighting hard and putting all this rhetoric out there ahead of all the negotiations that are going to have to take place. And they're right now saying, we'll throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've got to fight harder. We have to come out of this negotiation in a much better shape than we were after the last CBA, and so they fired the opening salvo, and so this it's going to be an arduous road. And I like what I'm hearing from these guys. And Eric is right. Hey, I won't be in the league in the 20 years down the road, and a lot of these guys in locker room. Well, none of them will be in the league, so they couldn't care less about what's going to happen. We're talking about right now while we're doing this thing. Yeah, I always take a Mikey B now anytime I say I couldn't care less.
You got it right.
Corrected me.
You nailed it.
So I like, once again, what Winston's saying, what DeMaurice Smith is saying, and they have to come out firing. And so it was a league last time that was saying all the crazy stuff, and of course they were throwing it out there just to have a position to negotiate with, and now it's the player side.
Penn State head football coach James Franklin joins us live next.
Ice Cube, it's Pete.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
James Franklin. James, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Awesome, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great, coach. And congratulations on the contract extension. That has to be a lot of emotions have to be going through you. What are some of those emotions after you sign that extension?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is it's the security to continue to, you know, build this thing. It helps our coaches know that they have stability. It helps our players in recruiting. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, for us is just the ability to continue to build, you know, what we got going here. We got a pretty good thing going right now, so we want to keep all the momentum in the right direction.
As far as building it, what are some of the glaring concerns as you build this 2017 team?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's glaring. I think, you know, we just got to continue to make progress, and I think we've done that. You know, obviously, you know, with the defensive ends that we lost last year, we're going to have to replace their production. I don't know if we're going to get it from one or two guys. I do feel like at almost every position, including defensive end, from top to bottom, we're just in a stronger position right now. So that's probably the thing coming into camp. We knew we were going to have to address that. Most of the other positions, you know, we feel really good about. And, you know, I think for the first time since I've been here, you know, we have a three deep with a starter that we think we can win in the Big Ten with a guy behind him that we feel like also has the ability to play in the Big Ten and win in the Big Ten with experience, and then a young, exciting number three, you know, at every position. So, you know, practices have been really fun to go to. I mean, you know, we're able to practice for 2.5 hours at a really high competitive level. So it's been exciting.
That's just too long to practice, Coach. I mean, 2.5 hours. Come on, can we just stop at 1:45? Is that okay?
You can, but we got a lot of work to do.
Hey, give me the name of some of those defensive ends you're going to have to step up for you this year.
Well, I think, you know, Torrence Brown, you know, is going to be a guy for us who's played a lot of football. You know, we're expecting big things out of him. You know, he had the huge sack, you know, against Michigan that everybody remembers. It was a huge play. You look at Ryan Buchholz, who's a Philadelphia suburb kid. We're expecting him to step up and do big things. You know, we got a young defensive end out of Philadelphia named Shaka Toney, who's a really fast, explosive player that we're excited about him as well. He's a guy who can really, really run out of Imhotep Charter there in Philadelphia. Sharif is our other starting defensive end across from Torrance, who's a George Washington kid in Philadelphia. And, you know, expecting huge things out of him. So there's a number of guys, you know, that we're really, really excited about, and some other developing guys as well. But they're probably the main guys, with Torrence and Sharif kind of leading the show with the two defensive ends as the starters.
Gio and Jones with James Franklin across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Not to brag, but I knew you were going to have success because of something that you did very early on. I was working in Pittsburgh when you got the job, and you were in Pittsburgh recruiting, and you called our caller line of our morning show just on a whim, and you pretended to be a regular caller, James from State College. And what it did was announce your presence in the city, show that your personality, and everybody was so impressed from the beginning. I said, you know, someone who's willing to do that right off the bat and sound so personable is going to have a lot of success. And you did. How do you keep that same fire in you that you had when you took the program over to now, where you have to sustain the success that you've created?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, you just gotta stay true to who you are and be authentic. I mean, you know, I'm a positive guy. I'm an enthusiastic guy. I always have been. You know, I read a lot of books and study a lot of leadership. I haven't seen where negativity has helped anyone. So that's just kind of who I am. I mean, all the way back, you know, to being a high school quarterback and captain of my high school team. I've just kind of always had that in me. So. You know, and then obviously it helps to be back home and, you know, be the head coach at Penn State, one of the most storied programs in college football history, with a tremendous challenge in front of us. And, you know, again, so far so good. But I think, you know, there's just a lot of things falling into place right now. But I got a great staff. I got great players to work with. I'm in a really good place that I think has a very bright future.
Coach, what are one of those books that has helped you amass this positive attitude?
Well, what I do is every single year I buy a book that I give you know, the coaches to read on vacation. Now, whether they read it or not, I don't know. But probably my all-time favorite book is Legacy by James Kerr, which is a story about the All Blacks, you know, the rugby team. And it is tremendous. And I bought it for all the coaches. Then I bought it from the team, you know, our leadership team. And then this year I bought a book for everybody, which is Ego is the Enemy. And I can't remember the author, to be honest with you, of that right now. But every year I try to buy a book. I give it to the coaches to read on the beach during vacation or whatever it is. Some read it, some don't, but you know, it's something I believe in.
Do you give a crap about preseason polls?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, everybody.
No,
everybody's excited, but you know, I mean, you know, look at our preseason poll last year. I mean, obviously, it didn't mean anything, and you know, I know it's great for the fans. I know it's great for the media and gives people something to talk about. But at the end of the day, all that matters is how you play each week and how you prepare and how you execute, you know, so that, you know, we focus on the things that we can control. That's not one of them. You know, and I think that's one of the things that I think we've done a pretty good job of is, hey, you know, let's not, it's not like I'm saying we've stuck our head in the sand and we're not aware of what's going on out there. You know, our guys have earned this, you know, they've earned, you know, the fact that people are talking about them and saying good things. That's wonderful. But, you know, that was last year. And, you know, we need to focus on, you know, what we're going to do this year and how we're going to build it, not take one thing for granted and, you know, have an attention to detail. And then, you know, the one thing you do take with you is the confidence from the experience that we had last year. So that's good. We just can't be overconfident.
Coach, speaking of last year, you dealt with a lot of attrition. It seems like, especially that Pittsburgh game and definitely going to that Michigan game, you were pulling linebackers off the street. Is this a testament to the fact you were able to overcome that, get to a Big Ten championship game, ultimately win that Big Ten championship game, testament to your strength and conditioning staff and that training staff?
Yeah, and our kids. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, literally, we're playing the Michigan game, and we had a fifth-team Mike linebacker on the field who had never taken a rep with the varsity or in a game. You know, playing on the field. And, you know, that was the situation. I remember being on the headset talking to the defensive coordinator. He's like, well, do I put the 16 Mike linebacker on the field, or do I put our starting Will linebacker, who's never played Mike linebacker ever, at Mike? You know, so that was the discussion that we were going through. But, you know, that's why I'm so proud of this team last year, is they just persevered. You know, there wasn't one thing that was gonna stop us or set us back, and we were going to stay positive and kind of grind through all these things. And we just kept getting better. And that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of as a coach over my college career, my entire college, you know, career as a head coach, not just here at Penn State, is if you look at us, that's what we did. We got better each year as the season went on. And I think that's a very, very important trademark for any real good football team.
What do you think your greatest asset in recruiting is?
I think the biggest thing is just being able to relate to a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. I'm comfortable being, in the inner city in a fairly tough environment that some people would be intimidated by, and I never have been. And then the next day I can be out in a very rural area in the middle of the country, in that setting and be very comfortable. I can be in a home where the family has a lot of money. I can be in a home where a family doesn't have much money. And I'm really comfortable in all those different environments. And then I think I'm somebody that can really kind of relate and empathize with a lot of different people's backgrounds. So, I think that's the biggest thing, connecting with people, showing people how much we care. And I think the other thing is, some people describe me as a young coach, but I think I have an old school mentality. I believe, there's a lot of debate about this, but I truly believe in the student athlete model and what coming to college and getting an education can do. Everybody talks about the NFL, and I get it. That should be a goal of the guys we're recruiting, but this is so much bigger than that. So, I'm a true believer.
Well, I believe in it as well, as long as they allow them to control their likeness. But I like what you said about being able to go into different environments and connecting with people. Gee, it's like, me and Dr. Edwards in Bugatti Casino.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got to be.
Duality of man.
Yes, the duality of man, as I like to say. Coach, there's a new sideline rule. If coaches come off the sideline, they're onto the playing field and they're barking at officials. There's not going to be a warning. They're going to throw an unsportsmanlike flag on you. Do you think that will be applied objectively?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you're going to see it a whole lot. That I would say probably happens a small percentage of the time anyway, because really what they're talking about is not coaches coming out yelling and stuff like that. It's the times where the coach comes out in the field and questions the official and tries to make the official look bad. That's what they're trying to get rid of. And that doesn't happen very often. It happens probably, I would say, probably less than 5% of the time. And I don't think you're going to see it much. I think this is going to, have an effect. I think coaches are going to stay on the sideline, and they're still going to be emotional, but you don't want to put the officials in a position where you're, making them look bad. They got a tough job to do as it is.
You had back-to-back 7-6 seasons. You had the start last year where you lost to Pitt before winning 9 straight games. After that Pitt loss, and people were annoyed because of that rivalry that was reborn, and you're not supposed to lose that game and all of that stuff, and your first 2 years, did your confidence take a hit at all?
No, I think you guys, a lot of people forget, my first job was at Vanderbilt, and they had one winning season in 30 years before I showed up. They had gone 2-10 2 years in a row before I showed up. It was a tough situation, in a fairly good conference, the SEC. And, we walked in there and we were able to win 9 games our last 2 years in a row there and get that thing turned around. And then, people forget. We walked into a pretty tough situation here with the sanctions and the lack of scholarships and all those types of things. So I felt like we had a really good plan and we had a really good model, and we just needed time to work the model. But I think that's also why, when I got the job, I signed a 6-year contract, because everybody said, look, this, you got work to do, and this is going to take some time. So I never felt like that. I think fans and media were talking about those things, but I never really felt that way. I saw the progress we were making. It needed to transform into wins on the field. I get that. But I never really kind of felt that way. I felt like we were heading in the right direction. I think if you list out all the challenges that we had here and you put them on paper, all the sanctions, the lack of scholarships, $60 million fine, all those types of things, it's fairly amazing that you know we had 12 straight winning seasons. I think we're only like five programs in the country that have never had a losing season over the last 12 years, and that's with the challenges that we had. So I would make the argument our best 2 years coaching were the first 2 years when we went 7-6.
Coach, when you don't get what you want, you get experience. You didn't get a victory in that just epic Rose Bowl. What did you learn from that defeat to USC?
Well, I learned this. I went all over the country, you know, speaking to booster groups and doing media events, and everybody I saw kept coming up to me saying, Coach, that was the best Rose Bowl game I've ever seen in my life. I said, it wasn't that darn good. It could have been better. I do think the way that game ended, you know, showed the country that you know, Penn State is now back part of the national conversation, and we can play with anybody, you know. And I think our players tasted enough of that success that they want more of it. But the season ended on a negative note, and you know they want to you know make sure that the season ends differently this year. And let's be honest, you know, in college football, there's only one team at the end of the season that's happy, and that's the national championship. So. You know, for us, we've had a great offseason, and I do think, you know, the Big Ten championship and our success last year and then having the opportunity to go play in the Rose Bowl was great. But, you know, I think our guys want more.
All right, now, for Penn State to be already all the way back, I need for them to get Alabama back on the schedule because I grew up watching Alabama, Penn State, and Penn State and Pitt. So you got Pitt. Can we get Alabama back on the schedule?
Well, I think what will happen is if we'll win enough games, we'll eventually have those team. We'll play one of those teams. Now, whether it's necessarily on the schedule or not, you know, I don't know. But I think if we win enough games, we'll play the type of people that you want us to play. How about that?
No, I'm just talking from a nostalgic standpoint. That was always great each and every year watching Bama and Penn State take on each other.
Each and every year.
Each year, you know, man.
They played Alabama.
You don't remember those?
You might want to go check your history, brother.
Back, they used to play them growing up. When I was growing up, they were playing them all the time, it seemed like.
I'd be interested. Post it on your website. Post it on Twitter. Go back and check this. And let's see. He said Alabama and Penn State played every year. Please go back and check that. I want to see how.
No, let's not.
Brian's 103 years old, James. So got to remember what he remembers growing up may be different than you. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time
this
morning.
Coach.
Congratulations again on your contract extension. Best of luck in 2017.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You got it.
You too. Penn State head football coach James Franklin on Gio and Jones.
Yeah, no surprise that he has that thing heading in the right direction. And a ton of doubters after that Pittsburgh loss a season ago. I think they lost three out of four after the opening win. And then, wow, nice run. Knocking off Ohio State. Got everyone healthy. And they're back on the national scene, baby.
A smooth transition into a sports update with Andrew Bogish. Hello, Bogish.
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
Hey, Brian. So hey. After a quick breather, the NBA retook control of the summer headlines last night. Kyrie Irving dealt to Boston for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and the Nets first rounder next summer.
It's not Ante?
I don't know. It's a lot, but Kyrie is worth it, says Celtic president Danny Ainge.
I'm firing a 25-year-old perennial all-star. A player that, you know, fits a timeline for us and is a fantastic offensive player, is one of the best offensive players in the league. You have to pay a heavy price.
And now Ainge hopes he can pay Irving long term. Kyrie can opt out of his current contract in 2 years. Irving and Thomas are the fifth and sixth All-Stars to change teams this summer. That is a record. Andrew Wiggins has fired agent Bill Duffy with a 5-year, $148 million extension with the T-Wolves on the table. Union rules would get Duffy his commission if and when Wiggins signs that deal. Le'Veon Bell was expected to rejoin the Steelers sometime after their third preseason game, which is Saturday. Based on Bell's Twitter, he'll be back next Friday. Bell responding with 9-1-17 when someone asked him when he'd report to the team, then wrote, "You're welcome," when told that was great news. Bell is staying away after receiving the franchise tag. Chicago Cub Ben Zobrist spent Monday's off day in Nashville, then had rental car issues driving to Cincinnati for last night's game. He was scratched from the starting lineup, so all he could do was pinch hit.
Zobrist cracks one in the air, right center field and deep. Back goes Hamilton. It's over his head. It short hops the wall. One run is in. Baez around third. He scores. two-run double, Ben Zobrist. Cubs lead 8-6.
That's Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. Chicago scored 10 unanswered runs to beat the Reds 13-9 to reach a season-high 10 games over 500. John Jones tested positive for a banned substance before UFC 214 last month. Dana White would not confirm reports it was steroids. Jones could lose the title he won from Daniel Cormier, and he has already served a one-year PED ban. And Demi Lovato chosen to sing the national anthem Saturday night at
Thomas and Mack?
Nope, when Mayweather and McGregor meet.
Thomas and Mack?
What's wrong with you?
Thomas and Mack?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot wrong with
What's
Brian.
Wrong with Thomas and Mack? Center. Is it still there? Thomas and Mack?
I went to some fights there. No?
Mikey B tried to help you out with the Penn State-Alabama thing. He looked it up furiously.
What'd you find? How many times did they play when I was a tot?
They played each other from 1981 to 1990 every year, 75 and 1979 as well.
Thank you.
And 1959, which I think
send that
14.
To coach. Send that to coach.
So
thank
they
you.
Played what that, 9 straight years there.
From, yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the radio host. Damn it. Send that to coach right now. Get him on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it on website. How about we're going to put it on your desk? Don't you challenge me, coach.
Is
you
James
go
Franklin,
coach them football players and let me handle history.
Is James Franklin on your ish list now?
No, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, but he just called you out.
That's all
right.
I can handle that.
Basically
I can be the bigger man.
A big dummy.
Yeah. Yeah, but who was right?
You said you better.
I don't see you on the phone in there, man. Call coach back. Tell him he was wrong. Don't
do you have his?
Me.
Do you have his number?
I do.
Well, Brian,
what the hell are you waiting on?
Well, why don't you call?
If I was wrong, you'd be.
Excuse me.
He said, if he was wrong, you'd be. Why don't you call him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough guy. Why don't you call him?
Mikey B have to call him.
Hey, go. I was just talking to your ass, and you were wrong. They played every year.
You know what you do, Mike, is you take that, what Brian just said, and then play it over the phone to James Franklin, and it's perfect. Hey, coach, it's me. Hey, Ice Cube, it's Pete.
Have Pete text him. Ice Cube, it's Pete.
Yeah.
And they used to play at Legion Field.
You know
they
what?
Didn't go to Tuscaloosa.
I hope that he looks that up. I don't know if he was traveling or he's in the car or what, but I hope he looks that up whenever he gets closest to a computer, has access to his phone, because then you know he's gonna feel like a dummy.
Yeah,
I mean, he was challenging.
Yeah.
You.
So you better check your history. Yeah. Uh-huh. I check my history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing with those glasses, you now know things.
I look smarter though. I mean, he's a little young. You know, he's just 45.
Well,
he's
you were definitely a little bit. You weren't as confident. You can go back out and be like, no, coach. I know what we're talking about. It seemed like you had a little bit of
Stay with your initial.
You had a little bit of a confidence breakdown there.
No.
You did.
I, nope.
Everybody heard it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Hey, shut up.
You could have said, I know my history.
I said that.
No, you didn't.
You could have put on your tough guy voice you've been using since he hung up.
Right, since you found out you were right. Before you didn't know.
Yeah. And coach, I think I'm right. I think I am.
Excuse
no problem,
coach.
James. Hey, coach.
I love you.
Okay.
I just bought a Nittany Lion as a pet.
What's your favorite book, coach?
Yeah, Ma. Yeah, what can I read when I'm on vacation?
And then all of a sudden, what? Yeah. What, James Franklin? What?
I don't give a damn.
Yeah. I don't care about your history. Got the wrong history. You've been bamboozled. You've been ran amok. Don't come to my community.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Get his thoughts on the Kyrie Irving trade to the Boston Celtics, where Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and that Brooklyn unprotected first-round pick come back in the deal. And also Ante Zizos is also a part of that deal, who is a 7-foot Croatian.
You better respect.
I will when he does something. When he does something, I'll respect it. Until then, it's just a lot of letters that are out of place. So, Isaiah Thomas is another example of how
you need to always go back and clean out that Twitter history if you become famous.
Oh.
And back on May 13th, 2010, Isaiah Thomas tweeted out, he was 21 years old, he was at the University of Washington, so you remember he wasn't in the NBA yet, he was a young kid, just could drink legally. He said, "Ha ha, all you LeBron fans, that's the difference between Kobe and LeBron. Kobe wouldn't let anybody punk him like LBJ let Boston do. He's out." And of course, that's when he was out of the postseason at the hands of the Boston Celtics. And then the tear off of the jersey, and then there he goes to Miami.
Wow, so, little whippersnapper talking smack. You're not even in the NBA yet. Really?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
What's wrong with you, man?
Who's been getting smacked by LBJ since he's been in the NBA, though?
Yeah, well, and Kyrie Irving, too. If you look at their numbers head to head, Kyrie has a distinct advantage. But the Cavs are just, they were better than the Celtics last year.
When you walk into that, and there's been interaction, of course, since Isaiah Thomas has been in the league, but when you walk into that Cavaliers locker room, if you are to stay there, what do you say?
LeBron's a conscious guy. He is sensitive at times to things. He is outspoken, but I don't think that he's going to care about this. I really don't think that he's going to think that that's a big deal. I think he has enough common sense to believe that this is the way he felt then and not so much now, and they're going to work together and everything's going to be okay between the two of them. As we've been talking about for most of the morning, this is a deal that does definitely benefit both teams, and I really do applaud the Cavaliers side of this. I knew that the Boston Celtics eventually were going to take those assets and turn it into something. They allowed the Paul George train to leave. They allowed the Jimmy Butler train to leave, and they jumped on the Kyrie Irving train when it was available because Danny Ainge believed that that was the best player out of the three, or maybe he thought that the future, he knew that Kyrie Irving would be able to sign him to an extension. I'm not sure what, but Kyrie Irving was the guy that they decided to go out and get. I did mention how I heard Brian Scalabrine talk about this, and the reason why I value his opinion so much is because he knows Danny Ainge very well, and he said that the reason why this Kyrie deal was a lot more appealing to him than the Paul George deal was because in the Paul George deal, Jaylen Brown was going to the Pacers, and Danny Ainge, even though we haven't seen much from Jaylen Brown yet, but Danny Ainge is in love with Jaylen Brown, and he believes he's going to be a superstar, and he does not want to trade away Jaylen Brown, especially to another Eastern Conference team, and watch him blossom into the player he expects him to be.
Right. Remember, he was first-round pick, and people were scratching their head. Why would you go and draft this guy number one out of Cal? And he really availed himself nicely last year during the playoffs. And I like the move, and I think this definitely, if they're not favorites in the East, they're right there, 1A, 1B with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and having won the East a season ago. So this is a great move by Boston. You had a lot of assets you could move, including draft picks. And so you get a guy who's a bona fide star, Uncle Drew, in the NBA, who you don't lose anything in the way of someone who can get other people involved and someone who can also individually take over a game. So I think it's a brilliant move considering everything you had to offer in exchange for Irving.
Yeah, and this is going to be so interesting. And this NBA season, you can't tell me that the regular season is going to be boring this year because I know that we'll look at the Cavaliers still and the Celtics, those two teams in the Eastern Conference, and wonder which one of those two will come out of it and go to the finals. It'll be one of the two. You know, you'll look at the Golden State Warriors as a heavy favorite, and then some of the other teams falling in place after that, like the San Antonio Spurs, the Houston Rockets potentially. You know, so you have those. The Oklahoma City Thunder now with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. But even though you know the best teams, but think about the storylines.
Right.
How they're going to play out in the regular, and right off the bat.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the NBA season, it's like, whatever, we're in football season. Wake me up at Christmas Day when you have these, like the Cavs and the Warriors play, and I'll get into it then, and I'll get into it after the
football season ends. But right off the bat, you got Cavs and Celtics in Cleveland. I mean, I don't know if you can get more entertaining to start a season than that.
There's something nefarious going on here. I think the NBA once again stepped in like they did when Chris Paul wanted to go to the Lakers. I think they stepped in. They engineered and steered this thing. The Cavs, the only team you can trade Kyrie to is the Boston, Celtics, and that's what happened.
Oh, man. Come on.
Giving Kobe Altman too much credit.
Stop it.
Giving Danny Ainge too much credit.
Stop.
NBA was behind this.
Kyrie Irving, I cannot picture in a Celtics uniform right now.
You better get ready.
I know. I need to see him in the Celtics uniform. I've had a tough time. And Isaiah Thomas in the Cavs uniform, maybe a little bit easier.
Is number two available? What was Tiny Archibald? Was he two?
What was Tiny
Boston,
Archibald?
Don't they have all those retired numbers like the Yankees, don't they? Archibald two or something like that? Or who's the other one? Not was it who's the other guard? Dang. I'm going way back in history. And I'm going too far back.
He was seven, Tiny Archibald.
2-7, same thing. Crooked number. Right.
Why is this picture? When you Google Tiny Archibald, you get this guy. That's not him. That's not him.
No.
Why is that? He was. So you don't have to worry about
that. All right, I don't have to worry about it. Okay, so now you can picture him in some Kelly Green. No?
Red Auerbach, they retired number 2-4. That's what PDB's telling me.
All right.
So, tough.
There you go.
Maybe.
You going to bring it out of retirement?
Probably not if it's retired for Red Auerbach.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that would not be the way to go. I mean, that'd be a rough one if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
This I found really interesting. So Andrew Wiggins,
yes,
who had just had this max deal negotiated with the Timberwolves.
And apparently he had to meet with the owner, Glenn Taylor, to get that deal done, right?
Yeah, which I think is not a crazy thing, you know? I mean, the owners are involved these days. And it's a lot of money, and he's paying them.
See where your head is, son. Are you committed?
5-year, $148 million contract. So he fired his agent, Andrew Wiggins, after the agent negotiated this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, Bill Duffy is a longtime agent in the league and for over a couple of decades now. So he's been at this a while. And there are some protections in place for the agent. You've entered into a deal, you've negotiated the deal, and now you and your client have decided to separate. Bill Duffy, he will be protected in this.
He's getting his commission.
He will be protected, yes. And because he's the one that engineered and negotiated this deal, and I believe Wiggins has yet to sign it, so the league now will step in and they will make sure the interests of the agent is protected and, of course, the player.
Well, yeah, it says... unfortunately, tampering is a common problem in our industry, and that's part of the reason why I've already been in contact with the NBPA to discuss my rights in this matter. Obviously, whenever Andrew signs the max extension that we negotiated with Minnesota, mm-hmm. we will work with the NBPA to make sure that our interests are protected.
Yep.
Translation, I'm going to get my money.
I'm getting my cut.
Even though this guy fired me before he signed the contract. And I wonder if Wiggins did that, thinking that he wouldn't have to pay the agent, then that I've lost total respect for him. If he actually thought that he had like a thing in his head, like, you know, what I'll do is I'll use this guy to negotiate the contract and then I'll fire him before I sign it.
Yeah.
So then I don't have to give him his commission. If he ended up doing that and you got a 5-year, $148 million contract, are you really that upset with the job that the agent was doing?
Right. You got the max deal.
Yeah,
you got as much as you could get, and he's the first of his rookie class to get the max deal, I believe. So I don't understand what the problem was. Maybe they fell out of favor after the deal was consummated. That's obvious, and now he's thinking he can stick it to his agent? You can't. Agent's going to get his piece, man.
Right, and he should.
Yes.
I mean, that's
you do the work, you should be paid.
That's totally unfair
right.
if he does not.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
The
Timberwolves are that team that's really... I know that there was a splash with Jimmy Butler, but I mean, there's been a lot that's happened since then. I feel like they're flying under the radar here. You think about the Warriors, you think about the Rockets, you think about the Spurs, think about the Thunder even. And then there's Minnesota quietly laying in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, we go out to Cleveland to get reaction of this Kyrie Irving deal.
Andy Baskin of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland joins us next. Gio and Jones, keep right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.